Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood and his family are traveling right now to and from Virginia. They are doing the homecoming celebration for Dr. Youngblood's son, Gene Jr., who passed away after complications of COVID. As I've asked you before, this audience, please pray for Dr. Youngblood and his family during these difficult times. They really do need your prayers. As I said, I'm Mike Hill. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. I'm a small business owner. I've owned an insurance and financial services agency for 31 years. Before that, I was 10 years active duty in the Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. I've also served in the Florida State House in the District 1, District 2, that's in the panhandle of Florida. And I'm also joined today by Dr. Chris Hughes. Dr. Chris Hughes is one of America's most important, influential, and respected voices on cultural and political issues. Dr. Hughes is a Christian political advocate, Second Amendment defender, Christian apologist, and author. He is the host of The Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. He and his family make their home out of Boone, North Carolina. Chris, thank you for joining the show today.
Hey, Mike, it's been an honor to be with you this week.
It has been. We've covered some very important topics this week. We've had a number of call-ins from our guests who, by the way, if you would like to join the show with your question or comment, you can call 904-831-0917. Again, that's 904-831-0917. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. You can reach them online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Chris, the number of topics we're going to be covering today, and one of them has to do with school choice and how parents are empowering themselves by selecting school choice and taking their children out of these public schools. And, of course, there are many reasons for that, many justifications. We saw because of COVID, if there was one good thing that happened because of COVID, parents were exposed to what their children are being taught in public schools. Primarily because a number of students were being taught from home, and they were then seeing live online how their teachers teach, what they teach, and so forth. And it was appalling to many parents. Just last year, the nationwide percentage of those who were homeschooling their children was 3%. That has now jumped to over 11%. That is an amazing growth in homeschooling, and it is because of parents who are fed up with these government public schools. Chris, we're going to be joined this morning with Jonathan Jakubowski, who wrote an article about that in Newsmax. He should be joining us pretty soon. But Chris, what is your take on these parents who are leaving government public schools and are now homeschooling or doing other school choice measures?
Well, Mike, I would encourage every parent in America to take a look at homeschooling their children and getting them out of the public schools. If parents understood what was going on in public schools, most would not want their children there. From critical race theory to the radical pushing of the transgender agenda onto students to something called the Comprehensive Sexuality Education Curriculum, and I would encourage every parent out there to Google that and see what comprehensive sexuality education is, you would be shocked at the pornography that is being taught to children in your school. They have rewritten history. They don't teach math and other subjects like they used to. And parents teachers are encouraged to dumb down the curriculum for what they call diversity instead of trying to teach everybody across the board and offering them a good education. It's funny to me. Well, it's not funny to me. It's actually sad that the liberals in this country right now, they want to scream choice when it comes to abortion and murdering babies, but they don't want to give you choice when it comes to a mask, a vaccine, or where your children go to school and how they study. They don't want to give up any government funding at all for parents who might not be able to afford to go to a private school just to pick school choice. The good news is, and parents don't realize this, there are a lot of opportunities right now for homeschooling that don't cost anything, and there's a way for you to homeschool your children and get them out of this liberal indoctrination program that's taking place in public schools in America right now.
Chris, you made some very excellent points. Well said. Chris, we're being joined on a show right now by Jonathan Jakubowski. Jonathan, are you on the line?
I am on the line. Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you for joining us today, Jonathan. Jonathan is a friend of mine, and he is also an author of a newly released book that has gained national attention. It's titled Bellwether Blues, A Conservative Awakening of the Millennial Soul. Jonathan played football and received his undergraduate degree from Bowling Green State University and master's degree in public policy from Georgetown University. Jonathan is the founder of Champions in Action and is a chairman of the Forge Leadership Network Board of Directors. Jonathan is also a member with me of the inaugural class of the Club for Growth Fellows. Jonathan, welcome to the show. And we're going to be discussing an article that you recently wrote titled The Choice of a Generation, Empowering Families to Break the Cycle of Poverty. Chris, that was just what we were talking about before Jonathan came on the show. And I'm just going to read the beginning of the article, and then Jonathan, I'm going to ask you if you would step in and give us your thoughts. The article reads, after the outcry from parents against radical gender ideology and critical race theory resulted in one of the most historically significant nationwide movements since the Tea Party movement, the Biden administration has added fuel to the fire by getting the Department of Justice involved in the matter. Notwithstanding the fact that local law enforcement is already empowered to act against violent threats, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland announced that he will be sending FBI and Department of Justice officers to identify and prosecute threats connected with protests against public school officials. Jonathan, what are your thoughts on that, and in particular how you mentioned in your article a significant nationwide movement of historical proportions? But what were you referring to there, Jonathan?
Well, thanks, Representative Hill. It's great to hear your voice and looking forward to the next time I get to see you. I appreciate the invitation to join you today.
Absolutely, Jonathan. Glad you could join us.
Yeah, so in reference to the opening of that column, I write a blog. I have my own blog called the Red Pill Blog on Newsmax. So I do a monthly column on an issue that is resonating within our nation. And I present usually the left of center perspective on it. And then I present what I call a red pill rebuttal. So I've wrestled with issues like foreign policy and life versus abortion, Second Amendment rights. And this month's article, I was really compelled to talk about school choice specifically. And I could not have found more fodder for the fire than what the Biden administration has just done in weaponizing the federal government to go after the parents of kids who have the audacity to question their school boards on these dangerous ideologies that are being taught all across the country. I find the actions of this administration to be autocratic, reflective of a regime that really seeks to destroy and eliminate any opposition whatsoever. It's very scary. It's very concerning. And thankfully, parents across the country see it for what it is, and they're standing up against it and saying no to tyranny.
That's right. And Jonathan, I'm sure you're aware, and Chris, you are also, of recently a parent in Loudoun County, Virginia. A father went to a school board meeting because he was incensed, and justifiably so. His daughter had been sexually attacked in the girls' bathroom by a boy who was wearing a dress, who said that he self-identified as a girl, a transgender, a deeply disturbed individual. He goes in and he sexually assaults this man's daughter. The man shows up at a school board meeting demanding answers as to why the school would not report it to the authorities, and why did they have in place this policy of allowing boys to go into girls' restrooms, calling it transgender equality. So you're right, Jonathan. This is a hot topic that has been hitting the nation here lately. And we saw that parent, that father, who went to the school board meeting to complain, was forcibly removed. He was arrested. He was arrested. It took, I saw the video of it. It was almost like six sheriff deputies, six police, ganged up on him, arrested him, because he was there demanding answers as to why or how his daughter was sexually assaulted. By the way, the young man who did that, they didn't press any charges on him. The school did nothing. Instead, they moved him to another school where he did the same thing again. Jonathan, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's an atrocity. Just putting myself in the shoes of this dad, I have four children myself. I can't imagine how I would have responded. I saw the same report you saw. Loudoun County in Virginia is one of the worst districts in the nation. I mean, the way that they're navigating this and the way they've navigated the entirety of the situation with CRT demonstrates an ideology that seems to find itself interwoven into these major cultural institutions, from big government to these school districts to big business. There's an agenda that they have, and within that agenda, it is the advancement of these crazy radical gender ideologies, regardless of what anybody thinks or says. They're going to force it on us. And this dad who became the enemy, and he was the example that was used by the group that was advocating for the federal government to take action. He was the example that was used because they said that there's these rabid threats that can't be handled at local levels, and we need the FBI now to step in and go after these parents without any consideration for the pain and grief and suffering that he himself had to go through. And he's finally now speaking out because he was trying to stay silent for a while. He's not political whatsoever. And finally, he's speaking out because he's had enough, and there's nothing he can do. He's just astounded by the utter lack of compassion for children. And this is why in my article, I talked to Cory DeAngelis. So I interviewed Cory DeAngelis. He's a school choice champion. And the wording that he uses is fund students, not systems. Right now, we are in a nation where there are so many systems and institutions that are funded, and they have so much power over our lives. We have to break that power to give people back the freedom that they need and the right to choose where to send their children, in one example.
Jonathan, you're absolutely right. Spot on. As I go back to the article that you wrote, it continues by saying, as the battle lines harden, many wonder if there's a way to avoid the inevitable conflict, the conflict that we see happening before our very eyes. I believe, this is Jonathan, you were saying in the article, I believe the answer comes in two words, school choice. And ironically, this bipartisan solution is hindered by one of the less largest special interest groups. Jonathan, explain your school choice that you're talking about there and how the left is so adamant about not allowing school choice to happen. And Chris, you mentioned a little earlier, and you were spot on with that, that they want choice when it comes to aborting a preborn child, but they do not want choice when you in how you educate your children. Jonathan, well, talk to us about what you said in your article there, the school choice and how the left is hindering it.
Yeah, well, as Corey points out, the guy that I interview later in the article, actually the members of the left, people that find themselves to be leftist center liberals, 81% of them agree with a family's ability to choose a school where they mandate masks. So 81% of Democrats polled said that they would agree that a parent should have the freedom to choose a school if your school is not mandating or forcing masks. So generally speaking, the idea of school choice is widely accepted. 71% of Americans are now on the side of school choice. It's ironic to me that you could agree with that and then go into another family and say, no, you can't choose, even though we're teaching this radical gender ideology. But the broader point is this. The broader point is most Americans today, with what I would say is a filibuster-proof amount of Americans, agree with school choice. So why are we not seeing it enacted in every state in the union? And the answer is because there's a system that has special interests that has been built up over time to the tune of millions and millions and millions of dollars that is called teachers' unions. And the teachers' union, who is the largest lobby in the nation for Democratic politicians, has them in their pockets. And this is why Democratic politicians, by and large, now there are a few examples of Democratic politicians who have the courage to fight against that. A legislator in Nebraska had a video go viral where he's calling out his colleagues and saying, you all fight for the teachers' unions, and yet you send your kids to private schools. Why don't you start sending them to public schools before you make your votes? And he had the courage and audacity to stand in front of them and say that. We need more of those voices, and I think we will see more of those voices because we're at a point today where if this is not resolved, if there are kids that are being forced to go to schools like this father's case with his daughter being raped in a bathroom because of a radical gender ideology, if that is not changed, it's going to come to blows. We're going to move from a cold civil war to a hot civil war fought inside of school districts. What school choice does is that at least it alleviates our ability as Americans to decide for ourselves, say, I want to send my kid to a school where they're not going to be told that on the basis of an immutable characteristic, that's how they're defined. I'm not going to send my kid to a school where there's bathrooms are mixed and there's gender fluidity. But I recognize there are people in my community who want that. Well, then go choose a school that does do that. You can go to a school that calls your kid a racist and has the kind of these situations like the one we're talking about in Loudoun. Go ahead and do that. School choice gives the option for both, and that's why I see it possibly as the only way of alleviating the tension that surrounds this issue.
Jonathan, this is Chris Hughes. You know, a lot of the parents across the country now who are starting to get engaged with the school boards have never been to a public meeting before. They don't really understand how the process works. And with the father that Mike mentioned earlier from Loudoun County, Virginia, he went to a meeting. They didn't let him speak because he didn't fill out the proper forms. Most people don't realize, although there's starting to be some conservative organizations like the Leadership Institute and the Heritage Foundation that are offering training, so you know what you're supposed to do when you go to a meeting. But you mentioned school choice and legislation. Where can you explain to parents where this legislation has to come from? Because there are local legislative bodies, which is your school board that's elected. There's the state legislature, state house, and state senate in each state, and the United States House, the United States Senate. On what level, Jonathan, should this legislation come, and how can parents get involved in the process to open it up to more freely be able to have school choice in a state?
Yeah, Chris, I appreciate your question. It's a really good one. And let me just say this. I think the silver lining on the pandemic, the silver lining on the Trojan horse that we've seen in the last year with radical ideologies being exposed is that it's awakened a sleeping giant. You know, the hour in our nation is late. We live in a late hour. We need to know the times. Representative Hill and I both are men of Scripture and faith, and there's a particular passage of Scripture that stands out for us in this hour, this late hour of our nation, and it's the sons of Issachar knew the times and knew how to respond. So I think it's imperative that we study up. It's imperative that as we awaken to see the threats facing children as young as 5 years of age in school districts where they're being told that there's gender fluidity, where they're being told that these immutable characteristics of skin color will define them ultimately. I think it's time to wake up and know exactly what we are to do, and that's why this question matters so much. When it comes to school choice, the argument that we're making is very simple. It's that the money should follow the student. The parents should have the freedom to send their kid. I don't care if you're in an inner city or a rural district, if you have a lot of money or no money, you should have the freedom to send your kid to a school that you think best represents the values that you believe in as a family. And the problem is most of the students today, this is why the argument is about poverty alleviation, it's about breaking the cycle of poverty. Most of the people today that have school choice are incredibly wealthy families living in places where there's amounts of opulent wealth, and they love these kinds of ideologies and changes. But in the inner city, most of the families that lack the resources have no choice but to send their kids to failing schools over and over and over again, continuing that cycle. The way that you change school choice is at the state legislative level. All right, so if you want your state to adopt school choice, you need to call your state representative and your state senator, because they're the ones, like here in Florida, I'm in Ohio, we just had our own reform, and there's a backpack bill that's coming that will give, we'll use ESAs, educational savings accounts, to families, allowing them to have funding to send their kid at any school they would like. But Florida is one of the states that has demonstrated the greatest amount of school choice reforms over the past two decades. And the results through empirical evidence demonstrate that it has a net positive effect on the scores and on the attainment of educational achievement of the students. In fact, Florida was middle of the pack when they first started on the road of school choice back in the late 1990s. Now they're near the top of educational achievement as measured by the NEA. So there's evidence out there. There's hard evidence that demonstrates that when you give the parents a choice to send their kids to the school that they think is best, then you're going to see higher attainment of educational scores. You're going to see a response competition, what it does for the marketplace. It's going to force schools that maybe today would be leaning towards creating gender-fluid bathrooms or maybe to teaching and institutionalizing critical race theory. Maybe we'll hold them accountable more to the parents who now go there who say, no, I don't want this in my school. And now they have money to say, if you do continue teaching this, I'm leaving. I'm taking this money with me. So competition creates a rising tide that floats all boats. But the way that it's done is at the state level. State legislators are the ones who are responsible for that.
Well said, Jonathan. This is Mike Hill. We're hosting a show for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood entitled Let's Face the Issues. I'm joined today by Dr. Chris Hughes, who is a Christian political advocate and is the host of The Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. We have a special guest today, Jonathan Jakubowski, who wrote a book, Bellwether Blues, A Conservative Awakening of the Millennial Soul. And I read that book, by the way, Jonathan. You were so gracious to give me an autographed copy of it. It is an excellent book. I would encourage all the listeners out there to get the book. It's titled Bellwether Blues, A Conservative Awakening of the Millennial Soul by Jonathan Jakubowski. Jonathan, towards the end of that book, you have a section where you call it bringing it all together. I'm just going to read a paragraph out of there, then ask you to comment on it. In a fierce competition for the millennial soul, conservatives will experience the bellwether blues if they sustain the status quo. It is time for conservatives to rethink their approach by playing the long game. The three reservoirs supplying America, faith, family, and freedom, are in dire need of being filled. As politics flows downstream of culture, culture flows downstream of faith, family, and freedom. I think that was so well said, Jonathan. We have about 5 minutes left. Give me your comments on what I just read about how we so need faith, family, and freedom in this country.
Well, Representative Hill, thank you, first of all, for the compliments. I'm really humbled you would say that. It was a joy writing this book, and the experiences that have followed have really demonstrated and made it well worth the sacrifice. The ROI has been wonderful. You know, one of the things that the founders believed in was the golden triangle of freedom. You know, never before in the history of the world was there an experiment like that of the United States of America that was going to base our nation upon ideals and principles that were named in the Declaration of Independence, and it created the longest standing and lasting constitution that has ever existed in the history of the world. That constitution has only survived when it's been consistent with the aims of the founders tied to the principles of the Declaration of Independence. And those three ingredients, I use the analogy of reservoirs, is faith and family, which family is synonymous with virtue and freedom. And you can see many of the leading voices throughout America's history, including the likes of Abraham Lincoln, but going back certainly to John Adams and many of the others, George Mason, Thomas Jefferson, so on. Many, they had framed the government with the understanding that we cannot survive as a nation. We cannot form a government unless we have strong families who live out virtue. If we have virtue, then we can have a people that can embrace freedom and can advance the cause of freedom. Because if you take away virtue, you can't have freedom, because then you have to increase the size and scope of government. But you can only have freedom also allows faith to fan into flames, because when you have freedom, I think of North Korea, I think of Iran, take away freedom, it really reduces the ability to express faith. And then the only way that you have virtue, the only way you have tied families that live in accordance with the dictates of what is best for the community is one that follows faith. Faith informs freedom. Faith informs virtue. Virtue informs freedom, and freedom informs faith.
So well said, Jonathan. And in fact, I'll have to let you know, just last week, I was asked to speak at a central Santa Rosa County, that's in the panhandle here in Florida, a Republican Executive Committee. They asked me to come and speak, and they said, and the topic they wanted me to talk about was, Mike, when we search for candidates that we want to elect conservatives here in the area, what should we look for? And Jonathan, I'll have to say, I use your three ideals you just talked about, faith, virtue, and freedom, is exactly what I said you must look for in each candidate and make sure that they have it. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining the show today. You've been a tremendous addition to us, and I wish you all the best, my friend. And as you said in the beginning, I look forward to the time when I can see you again.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks so much for having me on. It was a real pleasure. Have a great day, guys. God bless you.
Thanks, Jonathan. Have a great day.
Thank you.
We have about 2 minutes left before our break at the top of the show. Chris, what are your thoughts on what Jonathan just shared with us?
Well, Mike, that's such a powerful challenge from Jonathan. And what I was trying to get a point with my question is, we can make a difference because this is happening on a state level. Your state legislator is somebody that lives in your community, and you can have access to them easily and encourage them to sponsor legislation that will allow for school choice in each individual state. And if every one of us will do that, if 10 or 15 people call their state legislators, we can make a difference in this nation and return school choice across the board.
Exactly, Chris. And you made a good point. You said, we don't need a lot of people to do it, but we do need people to do it. And the thing is, it is up to us, Chris. We can't rely on somebody else doing it for us. We can't sit back and say, well, John so-and-so will do it, Chris will do it, Mike will do it. No, you need to do it, ladies and gentlemen. We need you to get involved with this. We need you to fight for and save this great nation. And it can be done at a local level. This is Mike Hill and Dr. Chris Hughes sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. We're going to be back after our break at the top of the hour. If you would like to join us with a question or comment, the number is 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Don't go away. We're going to continue this discussion after our break. This is Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.